Blog Talk Radio.
Coast at 7 p.m., 4 p.m. here on the West Coast. This is the Voice of Reason Talk Show with your host, Wayne Cooper. So glad you could join us today. We're excited about today's show. I have a couple of special guests with me today. I'm glad they could take the time and their busy schedule to be with us and talk with us, because today we are going to be dealing with a very interesting and yet very needed discussion concerning this thing, this phenomena in the culture. We call it cancel culture. And we're asking the question today, how can we cancel the cancel culture in America? Because there is so much going on. Just before we get started, let me just say that if you are a person who pays attention to what's happening in the culture, of course, we just came through a very, very divisive election season. We have now sworn in, inaugurated our 46th president, President Joseph R. Biden Jr., and with his vice president, Madam Vice President Kamala Harris. And so a lot is going on. And of course, the administration is still new, because they were just inaugurated 1 week ago today, actually. And so we are looking forward to seeing what's going to take place. Now, I know that there are people out there who have different ideas, different views concerning the new administration, and some are mourning the departure of the the former administration. And so we've already spoken about the idea of the country trying to be unified, and we've addressed that. And of course, there's always much more to talk about when it comes to addressing the unity in America, because certainly we've seen a lot of disunity in the country for various reasons. And so I'm just glad that you're here today. And again, we're talking about how can we cancel the cancel culture. In other words, cancel culture is all about canceling people for various reasons. And we're going to get into those reasons. But we want to know, how can we, as the American citizens, how can we cancel the cancel culture in America? Just the other day, I was listening to a very prominent theologian and scholar, and as he was communicating, he shared with his audience how he had been pretty much silenced on social media simply because he disagreed with the new administration's policy on transgenderism. And, you know, and that's a sticky subject, and it's one that is sensitive, and one that we should approach, you know, with a sensitive consciousness. And but, you know, think about this for a minute, ladies and gentlemen. Think about that. We live in a time that just to simply disagree over policy matters, people are calling for people to lose their jobs or to redefine them as domestic terrorists, or to, if they have a product, if they are owner of a store, to cancel them out, not to buy their product anymore because of their political beliefs. And there was a day in America where we never did that kind of stuff. You know, we had our debates, sometimes very vigorously debates, but we never went to the extreme that we're seeing in the culture today. And that kind of, that bothers me. And I hope that it bothers you, no matter what political stripe you're, you know, that you're from, no matter even what religious stripe you're from. I hope that it bothers you that living in a country that prides itself being the, you know, the home of the free and the brave, and, you know, one nation under God, and, you know, with liberty and justice for all. I would think that by now that we would learn how to disagree in a civil manner without going to the extremes that we're seeing, you know, that we're seeing today. And it's getting to the point where people are, like I say, being canceled. We saw a United States senator have his perspective book, his new book. There was a major company that was going to publish it, and then due to what he supposedly said in the Congress, you know, their session when they were trying to decide about the elector votes, and because they didn't like what he said, they accused him of aiding and abetting rioting, and so now the publishers decided that they would not publish his book. However, that story doesn't end there, because there is some good ending in that there is another book publisher that have taken on that project, and so Senator Josh Hawley will, in fact, get his book published. And one of the, and the ironic thing about that is that his book deals with big tech and how big tech now is on this horizon of trying to silence and quiet people who, you know, seem to have a different, you know, view from what they believe should be heard in the public realm. And so we want to discuss that today. And as I told you, we have two special guests, two men that I've known for a long time. And I want to introduce you to both of them, first of which is T. Russell Moore, a dear friend and colleague. He happens to be a pastor as well as a counselor. He lives in Columbia, South Carolina. And then another young man by the name of Trevor Williams, who recently finished school. Both he graduated with a biomed science degree from the University of South Florida in Tampa, Florida. And then most recently, he achieved a master's degree in public health from West Coast University here in California. And so they are with me today. So to Russell and Trevor, I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule, and want to welcome both of you today as we talk about how we can cancel the cancel culture. But before we get specifically to about the canceling part of it, let me just ask you, and Russell Moore, I'll start with you first. Just tell me, what do you think about, you know, this cancel culture that you're seeing in America? You know, how does that set with you?
Well, you know, cancel culture is something that has been used, started in celebrity, with celebrities for making statements, you know, that were unpopular from one particular political persuasion. But to talk about cancel culture, I think we should understand that the goal and the origins of cancel culture is really to banish someone, to ostracize and banish people from popular society, from culture, to banish them. It's not just, you know, it's not just to shut them up, but it's to cut them off completely, because, and it's really only popular and you know, to be done now because of the technological age we live in. You know, so societies have always banned people for particular wrongs, for grievous sins, you know, for murders, for various things like that. If you remember, our very own Apostle Paul was banished to the Isle of Patmos. So he was cancel cultured. Back in the first century, he was cancel cultured because of his beliefs in Christianity and not adhering to Roman law. So what we're really talking about, is to cast somebody out for political, social, religious reasons, to ostracize,
right.
Something that really came, it's really a thing of evil intent.
Okay.
So, go ahead.
Go ahead. Finish your thought.
So when we look at the way it is being used now, with the intent of it, with the way it was done what's the singer name? Bump and Grind. What's the singer? I can't remember his name.
R. Kelly.
R. Kelly. Look at the way R. Kelly, Bill Cosby, and many of them were counseled in society long before they ever went to court. Michael Jackson, were counseled in the society before they ever even got to the trial. I mean, everything, we've seen it in sports, Coca-Cola pulled back, people take away Tiger Woods, people take away their endorsements, and so it's really just, it's a social punishment. A social
advantage. Okay, let me stop there and bring Trevor in. So, Trevor, tell me, what are your thoughts? Before we get specifically to how we cancel the cancel culture, just tell me your thoughts about, what you're seeing, as a result of people disagreeing or people, are doing things differently than maybe a certain crowd wants them to do. So what are your thoughts about cancel culture?
Honestly, I think that the whole notion of cancel culture is very hypocritical. I think that when you look at what they're doing, it's a way to try to have people conform to one way of thinking. And essentially, if you don't align with that way of thinking, then you're on the outs. So essentially, people shun you and find ways to, like Pastor Russell said, punish you for not thinking the same way that they do. And I find that to be very, very hypocritical, because ultimately, if you want people to have free thoughts and ideas and speech, then you shouldn't limit them to thinking one way, right? And that's the only way that we can do that, if we allow people to have freedom of speech, freedom of ideas. And I think that's what makes America the great nation that it is that we do have that freedom of speech. So when you look at the cancel culture, I feel like it's actually a very huge contradictory of itself, in that, they want people to think a certain way and believe a certain way, act a certain way that they feel is right. But in essence, what they're doing is actually wrong. And those who support that type of ideology.
Okay, very good, very good. So let's get down to it then. So let's ask some, I think, pertinent questions of this subject. How can we cancel the cancel culture in America? But there are some questions specifically that I want you guys to give your best shot at it. When we think about it, Trev, I'll start with you. What do you think is really behind the cancel culture in America? What is really behind it? What is really behind it? I guess that's the best way I can ask it. What is that?
I think that there's many factors that are behind it, and I think when you look at so many entities like the Black Lives Matter movement, this whole transgender and, equality amongst women movements and things like that, I think that they're all kind of coming together and aligning their forces to basically support, each other's agenda, and that's to have, their ill way of thinking, in a sense, to be forced onto other people. And I think when we look at that, it's really mainly driven from the left side. It's driven from, liberal people who are far left, typically Democrats, you know, people who align with that way of thinking that want, you know, transgenders to be able to compete in sports with women, you know, men who are naturally born men to be able to compete with women, you know, Black Lives Matter movement to, you know, for people to push that agenda onto the world and things that really has no sound basis or logical basis.
Okay. Okay, Russell Moore, your talk. So, Russell, from your perspective, what is really behind the cancel culture in America?
To destroy free speech, a worth and value on one speech over another. I think cancel culture is definitely designed. I think that is the basic premise to cut off, you know, something that people just don't like, speech that they don't want to hear, to mute, you know, other speech, and I think it's just that superiority, elitism. It comes from self-centered mentality that, you know, only I'm right. And it's really, I really think it's a, you know, it's a judgment. You know, like in our churches, we excommunicate people, but it's, you know, and we tell people they can't be a part of this, but we don't go to the point where they can't speak. They can't say what they want to say. We say you cannot participate in this because of this you did. But we don't limit their speech. And so what we're seeing now is, you know, a complete destruction and hurt of people, which is evil. You know, no matter what side it's on, left or right, it's just evil intent. It's I really feel like it's selfish ambition. I really feel like it's something a self-centeredness, haughtiness, you know, within people to believe that, you know, that they are better and it's their job to punish others who they don't deem to be as important, you know, as themselves.
Okay.
I
want to move to something. It's similar to this first question, but it causes us to get a little bit more specific because I do think that when we consider what's, you know, behind cancel culture, you know, like always behind the what, I believe is a who. And so the other question that I want to ask and come back and Russell, I'll start with you on this one, because we talked about the what is really behind it, but to get a little bit more specific, you know, so if we're talking about a particular person or persons, a particular group, whether it be a political group. So the question is this: who's the driving force behind the attempt to silence dissenting voices in America? So when you look at that question, like if you think of like who is the driving force? Like I think I heard Trevor said earlier, you know, sometimes people on the left, but from your perspective, as you have observed this phenomena in our country now, who in your mind, who's the driving force behind it?
Well, I really feel like most of it is people who cater to a particular religious and political affiliation, people who hold a problematic view with people, you know, with everybody having equal rights or everybody's voice being important. I really feel like, you know, and I think to a large extent, that does come because things like abortion and, you know, like things Trevor said about, you know, the gender issues and all those things. There are forces and there are people who just do not share the traditional American values. Traditional, I mean, family, traditional values, and that group and with the media. As we saw with them canceling, you know, former President Trump canceling his account, people who do not share the conservative or family-oriented view or a, let's just say, you know, even belief in God, they just don't want to hear anything that is you know, that's different than what they believe in. They're offended by it.
Okay. So, Trevor, what about you from your perspective? So we're getting a little specific, you know, specific and pinning it down, you know. And you know, who, in your mind, who's the driving force? Is it an entity? Is it individuals? Who's the driving force behind the attempt to silence dissenting voices in America?
Yeah, honestly, you know, I kind of touched on it a little bit earlier, but I definitely, you know, kind of elaborate a little bit more. I feel like a lot of what we're seeing now it started with the whole LGBTQ community, if that's how you say it, right? I feel like in that particular community, them fighting to want to be seen and heard in the same manner as other people, and not that they're not equal in terms of dignity and in terms of being human, right? But them wanting the same rights to perhaps, you know, to have men who are naturally men want to go into bathrooms with women, and men who are born men to be able to play in sports with women and things like that. I feel like that's kind of where it has been influenced the most. But we've also seen it a lot in, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement and, you know, them trying to cancel people who they feel aren't necessarily being diverse or who have, they in their mind, has been, you know, prejudiced in some type of way. And then when we look at the Me Too movement, things like that, you know, where women have all come out saying that they've been harassed in some type of way. And, you know, you have the extreme womenists who feel like, or feminists, I should say, who feel like women are created equal in the sense of abilities as men, when we know that in a natural state, that's not necessarily true, right? We've all been uniquely given, as men and women, our own abilities that we cannot do, right? So that the other cannot do, right? So we can't naturally have, you know, children like women can, and women can't naturally do certain things like men. But I feel like when you look at all of those different separate entities, they have definitely come together to kind of like catch a wave with one another, right? And just to kind of align their agenda, which is, in my mind, a really rebellious agenda that wants to go against the norm and go against the natural grain of things, right? So kind of like Pastor Russell touched on with, you know, destroying the nuclear family, you know, the family that is made up of a man and a woman, a wife and a husband, you know, they want to destroy that. Now it's reached employers to where employers are now being canceled or, you know, boycotted if they're not showing a level of diversity that this culture feels should be represented, right? And I think when we look at that, especially like Pastor Russell said, a lot of this is being influenced by the media, you know, Hollywood, that whole, you know, social media movement, you know, people who have those big platforms, right? You know, celebrities joining in on this and kind of pushing that agenda along because they have a big voice and a big influence as well. And I think when you look at it, it definitely goes to a lot of different, you know, factors and a lot of different influences.
All right. Thank you. So, again, if you're just joining us, this is the Voice of Reason Talk Show with your host, Wayne Cooper. I have with me today our guests, T. Russell Moore from Columbia, South Carolina, and Trevor Williams from Tampa, Florida. And we're talking about how can we cancel the cancer culture in America. I will say briefly that when I think about this subject, it is really troublesome because, you know, again, there was a day when that was an issue. But I will say, to get more specific about who's the driving force, at least from my perspective, I definitely say it has to do with those on the political left, because in order to be, I really want to be fair-minded, fair and balanced on my perspective. You know, both sides have issues and both sides can have extreme people. But I think if we really look at it honestly and objectively, we see that cancer culture is definitely a far-left phenomenon, because they believe that unless you see things the way I see it, unless you believe what I believe, then we can't have any dialogue or any communication. And that is why, for example, let's look at what is happening in our universities today. Some of you may know that in universities, you know, the young students today have a hard time dealing with anyone who has a dissenting voice from their own. And so they have what is called now safe zones. Well, let me assure you, ladies and gentlemen, when I came through school, that was never heard of. I never heard of such a thing as safe zone. And then the question we need to ask is, what are you safe from? So why do we need to protect someone because someone simply has a different maybe idea or ideology from another person? Why must we protect people because one person believes in abortion and the other does not? I don't know why we need special places in our universities and colleges for people, and we call them safe zones. So that is definitely a far left phenomena. I'm not seeing the people on the right do that kind of thing, because I think that people on the right put a lot of emphasis on free speech, you know, and so that is something to think about. I'm going to take a 30-second break here, just a 30-second break, and then I'll come right back with our guests, T. Russell Moore and Trevor Williams. Hold on 30 seconds. Here with the Voice of Reason talk show host, Wayne Cooper. So today we're talking about how can we cancel the cancer culture in America. So I have another question I think is relevant for our discussion today. And here's what it is. You know, for all Americans, I think this is something that we need to consider. So the question is, why should Americans of all political and religious stripes fight for the First Amendment rights of freedom of speech? So, Trevor, I'll start with you in this segment. Why should Americans of all political and religious stripes, in other words, you know, whether you're a Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, Independent, Conservative, you know, whether you're Christian, Catholic, Muslim, whatever you are, if you are an American, why should you fight for the First Amendment rights for freedom of speech? Why is that significant? I'll start with Trevor.
So I'll give a few reasons. One, I think that it's crucial, you know, as American citizens, that we have the free flow of, you know, ideas and thoughts and, you know, free speech, because that is what makes us the very unique country that we are. And I feel like that's how we've advanced as far as we have, because of free speech and the ability to be able to freely think. But I think also, more importantly, if we don't have free speech, I think that especially what we see with this culture, it'll spread like a wildfire. You know, like just one example in particular that I can think of is the example with Colin Kaepernick, right? So we saw that when he was kneeling to protest against, you know, racial injustice and police brutality. He ended up doing an ad campaign with Nike, right? And because of that, those who were on the right side decided that they wanted to cancel Nike, right? And we saw videos and pictures of Nike products and brands being burned and things of that nature. So I feel like even though we know that it's mainly influenced by the left side, I think that if we allow this to continue and if we don't speak up now, it'll easily spread to people of both parties, like you said. And I feel like this will impact every individual, not just people who are far left or people who are right sided, but both sides, both parties, and people of all racial backgrounds and religious beliefs will be impacted by the consequences of not having that freedom of speech.
All righty. Yeah, I think so. And let me, before I come to Russell, I think it's an important point because, again, on this show, we want to definitely be fair. Colin Kaepernick, you know, a lot of people believe that because of his kneeling, that actually canceled him out of the NFL. I have thoughts about that, but I'm going to reserve them for today. But I will just briefly say, I think that if one thing went wrong for Colin was that his message got co-opted. And I think that is what caused a lot of problems, because I think that his intent was a good intention. I think that he meant well, but I think that maybe he didn't do the best job at making sure that his message didn't get co-opted. And because for long, we know that what he intended and what was being said, you know, in the public domain was two different messages. And so, unfortunately, that hurt him. And I think, and I fear that, you know, that it probably ruined the rest of his NFL career because he hasn't played, in 3 years. So it's probably doubtful that he's going to be on anybody's NFL roster in the future because he's not getting any younger. So anyways, just going back to the question, why should Americans of all political and religious stripes fight for the First Amendment right of freedom of speech? We're going to ask Russell Moore to give his thoughts and perspective.
Okay. Freedom of speech, I think, is the very cornerstone of one of the cornerstones of our society, the free flow of ideas. It allows people to pursue their own goals, dreams, and visions and express their own thinking, and really it separates us from one another. Wayne, you know, you and I had that experience that, you know, in Hong Kong, and we were in Hong Kong at a time when they did have free speech, but today they do not have free speech. Mm. And so when I think about that, you know, we could say what we wanted to a couple of years ago, but now you can't. You have to be really careful about what you say, because the government has said these are the only ideas that are acceptable in society. And not only will you be canceled, but you'll be punished, you know, with prison if you, you know, express any ideas that express your freedom, you know, your ideas, your path you want to go. And I think that when a society, I think the reason why everybody ought to be fighting for free speech is because when free speech goes, ideas go. And when ideas go, the society stagnates. And, you know, it becomes totalitarianism. And so we have to allow people to freely express their ideas, whether they're unpopular, whether they're unconventional, even if they're wrong. Even if we disagree with them, you know, everybody needs to be able to express their ideas, you know, and so, you know, and get rid of censorship and punishment because of ideas. Because now people, you know, let me say this last thing. Mm-hmm. You can't stop the idea. And council culture says, I can't stop your idea, but I can punish you for that.
Hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. You know, the First Amendment, freedom of speech is a very prestigious and very, privilege that we have in this country. You know, I was talking with a gentleman. I was at a restaurant and he was a server and he was from Iran. And we were having this similar discussion. We wasn't talking about cancel culture, but we were just talking about, you know, the ideas of America versus other countries. And he was a comedian, by the way. He was a comedian. You know, he loved to laugh, loved to tell jokes. And I look forward to him whenever I went to that restaurant, you know, him serving me. And one day we were just talking, and he had a lot of humor. And so I forget his name, but I remember we were just talking about freedom of speech. And he said, you know what, Mr. Cooper? He says, I want to tell you something about freedom of speech in my country. And I said, yeah, tell me about it. I said, how is it different from America's freedom of speech? He said, here's the difference. He says, in America, you can pretty much say what you want, and you can say it to who you want to say it to, and you generally, you know, that's, you know, you're okay. He says, in Iran, it's different. He says, our freedom of speech is like this, is that when you speak your mind, he says, when you talk about freedom of speech, he says, as soon as you speak, you're no longer free. Because he says that basically you're going to get arrested and, you know, you're going to be tried and convicted and spend, you know, a long time in jail. And that depended on, you know, what the freedom of so-called freedom of speech was about. Because if you were, like in our country, we even have the freedom of speech whereby we can even criticize our leaders. You know, we can criticize our president, we can criticize our governors, we can, you know, criticize, you know, our local leaders. We can do that without any fear of getting punished, or at least we used to. And but when you go to other countries, to badmouth your leaders, it can literally cost you your life. And so in that regard, America, we ought to be thankful that we do live in a country that was founded upon that idea of freedom of speech. So then the next question I have, so because now we want to talk about us Americans in terms of what can we do. So the next question I have, and Russ, I'll start with you with this one. So as we're talking out there, you know, in America and speaking to Americans, what can Americans do to fight back against the cancel culture? You know, I know sometimes people feel helpless. They feel like, hey, you know what? Who am I? But you know, when you think about it, what can Americans do to fight back against the cancel culture?
Well, you know, cancel culture is primarily carried out in the media. And we have given, I mean, your neighbor is not going to cancel you because they cut your Twitter account. America is highly polarized. If you don't believe in my set of ideas, that's why we had what they say, 80 million for Joe Biden, 74 million for Trump. So America is divided. It is highly polarized. Certain issues like abortion, sexual, you know, politics, the politics of sexuality, these things have arisen and then, you know, put in play, elevated by politicians. They were never voted on by Americans. You know, a lot of this was done, you know, through the courts, where it wouldn't have to play out in the court of popular opinion. Or it wouldn't have to be voted on by states or, you know, our Congress. And so people are maneuvering themselves, politicians and other people are maneuvering themselves in positions where, you know, they can cancel or they can get rid of certain ideas out of the marketplace and say that they are illegitimate. And so with that, I think Americans have to come to realize, we as all Americans have to come to realize that ideas are not dangerous. But, you know, in every political season, we hear the prophecy of doom, that if they get in office, this is what they're going to do. And, you know, the doomsday, the naysayers, they're only going to do so much. But I think Americans really have to pull back, you know, from our overzealousness about, you know, our ideas, because we need to allow people to express themselves, you know, verbally. I'm not saying in you know, carry out things, but express ideas and discuss them, and that is the best way. We can agree to disagree, but right. we tend to demonize people. And that is part of a machine that's done from Washington to, you know, wherever. And they use big tech to do it.
All right. So, Trevor, so what about you, Trevor? So when you think about that, you know, what, you know, from your perspective, what can Americans do to fight back against the cancer culture?
Well, being a public health professional, I think one of the key words that always sticks out in my mind is awareness. And I think that one thing we can all do is bring more awareness to this subject and make sure that everyone is properly informed of the consequences that are, you know, are involved with this whole cancel culture, because it isn't just, you know, going to impact one side, it's going to impact everyone. You know, if we continue to go in this direction where we're being censored and we're being limited to what we can say, that is ultimately going to impact the livelihoods of every individual, not just one particular side. So I think making sure that we get involved in, you know, politics and making sure that we are lobbying for policies and things that would influence this cancel culture in a way that, it, you know, it is negatively impacted and not supporting that agenda, I think that that is key. We definitely have to make sure that we're involved in making our voices heard, you know, with our local politicians, making sure that they know that our First Amendment rights are still important to us and that we want that for our livelihoods.
Okay. So I have another question. In fact, this will probably be our last question for today. I think it's a good question. So, again, the Biden administration is just a week old. So we understand that we have a long ways to go, but President Biden has done probably at least within the last 5 or 6 presidents, he has done more executive orders than any other president, and all of them seem to be very divisive. When you talk about allowing you know, transgenders in the military again, then there are some other things, so many things that he's done, the destroying of the jobs from the pipeline there, you know, they estimated about maybe 11,000 people losing jobs, so that's a lot of money. We can go on and on. So, because the reason I bring it up is because, as you know, you know, he has talked about trying to unify the country. And last week we talked about, you know, this issue about, you know, unifying the country. But with a lot of those executive, I mean, those, yeah, you know, those executive orders, clearly there's not going to be any unity around those things. And what I've seen so far in just this week of his administration, I've seen cancer culture at work in silencing people. You know, for example, even people who don't believe, you know, in transgender serving in the military. I am a military veteran, although of another era and generation, and I can tell you my generation back in the late 70s would not have put up with what is going on now. I can tell you that for certain. But a lot of things that is happening now, it's not going to bring about unity in the country, and we're going to see cancer culture at work even more, because they're going to feel the need, you know, to silence people who disagree with this administration. So the question I have for you gentlemen, then, with the Biden administration pretty much being behind the cancer culture, even though, as I stated, he has claimed that he wants unity, here's a good question for us. Starting with you, Russell Moore, how do you see this ending?
In more polarization, I just don't see how, you know, with the things that our president has done, I just do not see how they have gone to unify the nation as he said he would. You know, because these issues he's doing now, he can't bring them to the American people because they're so polarized and he doesn't have the support of the American people. So they're being forced on the American people. I think it was a huge mistake to cancel all those jobs on that pipeline. I think it was a huge mistake for the Biden administration because it showed that his agenda is, you know, climate control. And, I don't know. I want to just say you can't control anything in this climate. You can't. Yeah. I remember President Obama said he was going to stop the oceans from rising. And I just, you know, I just scratched my head.
Hmm. Trevor, how do you see this ending?
Yeah, honestly, I see it ending in a disaster. I think that, you know, as Biden continues to align the left side and their agenda that supports this whole cancel culture, I feel like we're going to see more censorship. We're going to see more division. It all sounds good at first, right, until people start to realize what is really happening. And I think in the long run, we're going to definitely see some type of uprising where the American people aren't going to settle for what's going on. And like I said, it's just going to create further division between, you know, Republican people and Democratic people, even though that's not what should represent us. But we know that that's the reality we live in. So I don't see it ending well. And all I can say is that I'm just, you know, sitting back and you know, watching this whole journey take place.
Yeah. Well, let me just give my two cents. I would definitely probably agree with you, gentlemen. I don't see this ending very well either, because I think that as people begin to really understand, you know, their freedoms being taken away, and I want to say this very carefully, because like most people in America, I would never encourage or incite anyone to do anything, you know, wrong or stupid. I would just say that the reason why we have to be careful is because when people feel like that their rights are being taken away, you know, people don't always respond, you know, in the most kind way, if you will. They don't just take it without, you know, having something to say or having some desire to make their feelings known. And so we hope that, you know, that this administration will listen, you know, to the American people as a whole, because no matter how a person may have felt about former President Trump, when you're talking about nearly 75 million people, you're talking about a lot of people in this country, and 75 million people are not all crazy, and they're not domestic terrorists, and, you know, and they don't need to be deprogrammed, and they don't need to be canceled because they supported the former president or because they served in his administration. Because that's another thing that we're hearing, is that there is this effort to really destroy the lives of people who served in the Trump administration. And that just ought not go on in a place like America. So we just hope that, you know, we will come to our senses and that we will be more civilized and more civil towards one another in that way. Surely we're going to have differences, and that is why we have political parties, because we share different ideologies, but I have to say that I don't want to be pessimistic, but I don't see this ending well. I don't see this ending where, you know, everybody will be respected for their views. You know, the freedom of speech thing is an important thing, but I think by the end of this administration, a lot of people will feel disenfranchised and, you know, and feel like that they were shut down and silenced and canceled, and that's not going to be a good thing. Let me just say one final thing. I remember, you know, back in 2010, and that was 2 years after the Obama administration had been in office, and of course, you know, some things had taken place in his administration that a lot of people didn't agree with, and it was then that the Tea Party rose up. And so I think on both sides that when people are angry, there's always, you know, a rising up of a new group. And so in these next 2 years, I would definitely tell you to watch what may happen, you know, as the Biden administration goes forward and with this cancel culture, you know, kind of doing this thing and trying to really harm people just simply because of what they believe. So in closing this, let me just come to you, Trevor, first. So just give me in about 1 minute or less, give me your closing thoughts, and then from there we'll go to Russell Moore. So in a minute or less, give me your closing thoughts on this subject of cancel culture.
Well, first I want to just say that I want to acknowledge that if something is wrong, we should say it is wrong. So people being mistreated for their gender or their race or whatever it is, we should definitely not support that. But I think that we should understand that this whole notion of cancel culture has went too far. I think we have to understand the premise of what's behind this whole cancel culture, and that if we truly want to support and promote social justice, that this contradicts the very notion of social justice. I think we also need to understand the consequences that are associated with being censored and just having this whole ideal of cancel culture. And I think we need to be mindful of the people that it affects, you know, people and celebrities or whomever it might be, businesses that are considered canceled. You know, this could lead to individuals committing suicide, leading them into depression, poverty. And obviously we don't want that. You know, if we're really caring and compassionate about people on a human level, then we shouldn't want that for their lives as well. And we should feel compelled that they have an equal opportunity and, you know, equal voice as well, as much as we have and the things that we have to say about them, right? So if we feel that we want to criticize things that they've done or said, they should also have an equal voice to be able to say and defend themselves in that same nature.
All right, Russell, I'll give you a minute to give me some closing thoughts on this subject of cancel culture.
People on the left side in the media said that everybody who worked for President Trump's administration should not be able to get a job anywhere else in society. Basically, should be labeled as lepers and unemployable and deplorables, you know. And so that tells me that this idea of counseling is more about destruction and destroying. And Jesus said in Luke 6:22, I believe, that he said, blessed are you when men hate you and revile you and say all manner of evil against you for my name's sake, for standing up for what is right. He said, for great is your reward in heaven. And I think that people are just going to, you know, it's not going to stop, but, you know, they're not going to win.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank my guests today, T. Russell Moore and Trevor Williams, for joining us on this segment and on this show, The Voice of Reason Talk Show, here with Wayne Cooper. Thank you all who listen in today. And as I stated, I want you to keep us in your thoughts. We're still growing this. This is something new to me. I wanted to try it, and we have a lot of good ideas. So we're going to keep working hard to try to make this program something that you deem worthy to tune in from time to time and listen to it. So today, I believe, was a good start for that. And again, I want to thank Trevor and Russell and to all of you. And so we're going to sign out. Again, take care. We'll be back on Monday next week, and we're going to have a good show planned for you. And I'll put the word out in social media so you'll know what's coming. And again, this is good stuff. So just be aware of cancel culture. And if you're on social media and even on your own job, I would tell you just exercise wisdom and what you say, who you say it to, because you don't want to be canceled just because you are voicing an honest opinion or just simply exercising your rights to free speech. And so we don't want to see that happen to anyone, no matter, again, what political stripe you wear, what religious affiliation you have. We think that you ought to be able to express yourself. And that's what our founders had in mind when they founded this great nation. So until the next time, this is the Voice of Reason Talk Show with your host, Wayne Cooper. Take care, and may God bless you.